Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Uno más hora. One more hour here. Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7. The Fan Four giveaway for the night to CBS Sports Radio. Spiro Dedis coming up to close the show at 6:45. He calls the NCAA tournament, including Virginia Tech. He has their location, their locale, their region, if you will. It's not really a region, though, because multiple regions play in one place. It's a whole thing. Spiro is going to call in at 6:45. He's great. Enjoyed listening to him last night. He's also got the 12-13 game between Oregon and UC Irvine tomorrow, because you had both 5-4 lose at that site. But right now, we're talking UVA. We've already talked Maryland. We're getting all the local teams. And happy to be joined by my friend Emily Karen. She writes now for Sports Illustrated. She has covered UVA since she was a student there as a student journalist. Emily, good to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I'm guessing you are doing better than about 24 hours ago. Well, I guess no, it was a couple days ago. Or no, it was about 26 hours ago at this point. As you are watching your beloved Hoos go down early in the first half there, are you thinking not again? Are you thinking this is a matter of time? Like, give me kind of what's running through your head as they are trailing again to a 16 seed.
I mean, anyone who's watched Virginia even a handful of games throughout this season probably wasn't super surprised that they were down going into the half. I mean, including yesterday's game now, what, the last 4 out of 5 games they've been down at the half? They've
right.
only got one loss stretch. So I wasn't too worried. I mean, the thing is, you had Gardner-Webb shooting lights out. Every look they got, they were sinking shots. Defense wasn't really up to par. Virginia wasn't really stopping any of the momentum they were building. But Tony Bennett is pretty good at kind of turning things around at half, so wasn't super worried. But definitely not exactly what you want to see to start the tournament.
Yeah, no doubt, especially after the obvious of last year. But ultimately, they do pull that out. Do you think it is something Bennett said is an adjustment they made? What do you think was the ultimate difference in the second half for them?
I mean, they just got going on both ends of the floor. I mean, you saw shots falling. You saw stops being made that needed to be made. I mean, stops were starting to be made toward the end of the first half. Kind of that's how they started chipping away at the deficit. But what I've always said is Virginia is better at rallying when they stop relying on threes. And I think that's also what we saw in the second half. I mean, first half, they were, what, 1-for-7 from deep at one point. They were just bricking shot after shot. And it's kind of then when you get guys like Mamadou Diakite and DeAndre Hunter at the rim, kind of nabbing rebounds and knocking them back in, those kinds of points. And I think that was actually a big turning point for the second half, is when they started just focusing on the fundamentals. You know, grab an offensive rebound, put it back in, get a two, and then move forward from there.
Emily Karen of Sports Illustrated with me, Craig Hoffman, here on 106.7 The Fan. As I said, you covered this team going back years now since you were a student journalist at UVA. In that time that you have covered UVA hoops, which would be, what, 5 or 6 years now, is DeAndre Hunter the best player that you've seen come through Charlottesville?
I mean, I hesitate to knock the, you know, the Malcolm Brogdons and the Justin Andersons, but I would say yes. He is definitely at least the most talented two-way player. His athleticism, I think, unparalleled. I mean, you've got Justin Anderson, who probably is up there with him, but what Dre can do defensively and what he can do offensively, it's just a versatility and athleticism that I don't think we've seen before. You know, and you've got guys like Malcolm, who are surviving in the NBA, who had great careers at Virginia, but don't have kind of the same explosiveness that we've seen from DeAndre Hunter. I mean, him having him in a game, having him healthy, having him on, can really turn the tide for Virginia.
Yesterday, 23 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, and 2 blocks for Hunter. Has having that kind of explosive athleticism and that kind of weapon changed anything Tony Bennett's done, or has it just simply made them better at the things they were already doing?
I mean, I think it definitely has made them change some things. I think you look at Virginia from the 2017-2018 season and now 2018 to 2019, I don't think the offense looks the same at all. I mean, you still have the same kind of guard play. You still have a probably higher rate of shots from the three than many other teams do. But the way that Tony Bennett kind of plays in the paint now is definitely different. He's definitely utilizing his front court a little more, and I don't know if that's because Jack Salt kind of has a supporting cast now of players that weren't necessarily there or weren't necessarily at a point where they could contribute regularly last year. But I think definitely this year you've seen a change in the offense, and you've seen an ability to adjust that Virginia didn't have before. You know, if Virginia was down in years past, it's kind of been tough for them to find a way out of that. But now that you have guys like DeAndre Hunter, he has given Tony Bennett a freedom and kind of an ability to mess around with different lineups, knowing that he's still on the floor and knowing that he's going to be able to kind of do it all no matter what.
Emily Caron of Sports Illustrated covers Virginia Hoops with me, Craig Hoffman, here on The Fan. So final score yesterday winds up being 71-56. They only scored 30 in the first half. They explode for 41 in the second. Part of that is they just started making shots, as you said. But there's kind of this thought with Virginia of, oh, my God, they play so slow. I'm sure you've obviously heard that for years and years and years and have watched plenty of games where they do play slow. But as they take on these teams that are not as talented as them, do you think that there is any kind of look to at least situationally push the pace? I mean, you don't get to 71 even in a 40-minute game without pushing it a little bit. So what do you think is the strategy for them as they move through this tournament from a controlling the pace and playing whatever their style of game would be? And I'll let you define what their style is.
Yeah, I mean, I think first when you look at their style, I think the concept of being a defense-only team has kind of gone out the window this year. Obviously, the pack line is still as imposing as ever. It's still what the program is founded on. But I don't think that's the only place that our skill set lies anymore. And I think that's where the difference in maybe seeing an opportunity for actual postseason success, you know, pretty deep run this season comes from, is having that versatility. So I think defining their style of play is you would define it differently this year than you would have last year. I don't know if that.
No,
everyone
it does.
Would agree with that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
But then when you think about pace, I think the key there is you've got to stick to the fundamentals, right? Because we're not going to be a Carolina who's, you know, running one of the fastest offenses in the country and doing it very successfully. That's not going to be us. But you're going to play teams that are maybe less talented, but try to imitate that kind of speed to throw Virginia off. So I think the key there is what we didn't do in the first half yesterday is locking in the defense and stopping the other team getting those shots. Or putting them in a position where they're taking harder shots or they're, you know, turning the ball over, making sloppier plays. I think that is going to be the key. And I think after that, you know, like you said, you don't get to 71 playing super, super slow. You just are efficient on every possession that you have. And I think that's what Virginia has done very well this season is that they've been very efficient and very balanced on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and there's only so fast you're going to have your pace overall be when you're that good defensively because the other team's possessions are going to take forever. Ultimately, Virginia, the number one scoring defense in the nation, average points given up just 55 per game this year, more than 3 points better than Michigan, who was second. All right, real quick, tonight, Oklahoma is the opponent. How do you see this game playing out? Virginia's favored by double digits. And can they afford any kind of slow start like they had yesterday and or the other day? And do you think ultimately that, and by the way, sorry, this game is tomorrow, for everybody listening, Emily obviously probably knew that and was getting ready to say so, tomorrow at 7:45 is Virginia, Oklahoma. Ultimately can they afford any kind of start like they had yesterday or against a team that is not a 16 seed? Would that be a bit of a death sentence for them?
I mean, I don't think they can. You look at Oklahoma, knocked in, 95 yesterday?
Yeah.
You're going to have to come out strong. You're going to have to make stops early on to kind of limit that. I mean, I think the talent there is on Virginia's side, but I do think you get off to a slow start there. I mean, Virginia chipped away at the deficit, was down by 6.5. But if you've got a team who's posting 50 points and a half, you've got to stop that, and you've also got to keep up offensively. So I think that is a much harder thing to come back from. They've got several guys there who can knock in 15, 18, 20 points. And so I think if you let them get hot, you let that kind of get away from you a little bit, that's a much harder deficit to overcome than against a team like Gardner-Webb, who Virginia had the size advantage, they had the talent. It's going to be a very different game tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to watching it tomorrow at 7:45. Emily, appreciate the time. I'm sure I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That is Emily Caron on Twitter, @_mcaron. She works now for Sports Illustrated and has covered UVA hoops for the last 5 years, first four as a student down at UVA. Actually discovered Emily after she was an intern at ESPN and wound up doing a piece for Outside the Lines that was awesome as an intern. So, stupid talented young journalist. Thanks, Emily, for her time. All right, coming up next, let's dive into some of what will be my next couple of days out in Phoenix, which will be looking at these NFL rule changes. And they're going to explain, hey, this is what we're looking at. This is what we're going to do. And then ultimately the owners are going to vote on them. So what are the rule changes being proposed? And do we want them to pass? That is the discussion next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They're going to vote on rule changes at the NFL's annual meeting. There's six that I have in front of me that are the big ones. There's a 69-page document. Nice. That's going to be sorted through by them, but it's all like, here. By competition committee, to amend Rule 6 to make permanent the kickoff rule changes that were implemented during the 2018 season. By competition committee, to amend Rule 12 to expand protection for a defenseless player. All the way down to, you know, you got, you know, number 7. Number 8, by Denver, to amend Rule 6, Section 1, Article 1, to provide an alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team who was trailing in the game an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring. And it continues on down. And then eventually on page 6 of this document, it goes into the actual rules and it's very complicated. And instead, we're just going to go through the basic level, regular vernacular English of all of this. And then we'll take your calls in the next segment at 800-636-1067. And then we'll talk to Spiro Dedis and the show will be over. That's what we're going to do. Vic, does that sound like a good plan?
I am excited.
All right. Brock's here. Brock, why are you here?
Getting a little work done.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, he's really committed to this job.
Look at him go.
Very excited about Spiro Dedis. He's great.
He's awesome. He always sounds excited, which is a good trait for a play-by-play guy. But then it's not like he's monotone excited, if you will. He can then take it to another level and get, like, super excited. But, like, you listen to Spiro call a game, you're like, you're invested in this. I like it.
He's in my top five play-by-play guys working today. Easily.
That'd be a fun power rankings.
Ooh, yeah.
Probably not for this show. Brock, put that down for a future show. I'm not in for Dukes again anytime soon, am I? Not that we know of?
It's down.
Okay. I don't think he heard what I said, because he's not actually wearing headphones. I did this bit earlier on Travis's show, and I could hear him through the glass. So I'll just talk louder so you can hear me. I'm not scheduled to be in for Dukes again anytime soon, am I?
I'm not aware. We have a lot of baseball coming up this week. There's going to be some short shows, but it'll be very exciting because Dukes is back from Arizona.
Right.
And the Nats start playing. Very exciting week of sports talk radio.
And just to clarify, that was short shows, not shorts shows.
There are none of those scheduled. Ever.
We'll leave that there. The NFL's rule changes include these proposals. More replay
which some people will greet with a, ugh. For me, I like this one. Under the proposal that the competition committee has put out, replay would be expanded to include pass interference. This would also include automatic replay reviews for scoring plays and turnovers taken away by a penalty. Unnecessary roughness would also be subject to review. Everyone who freaks out, and actually let me put this one, because the Redskins also have a proposal in here. Where did that one go? But basically, that the Redskins propose, let anything be reviewed. Here you go. The idea proposed by Washington would take the earlier replay idea to another level. Anything that happens on the field could be reviewed, including plays in which a penalty is perceived yet not called. So, for instance, the Rams-Saints game, the NFC Championship game that's decided on a blatant no call, you could challenge, and then the refs could be like, oh, yeah, we missed that, pass interference. And the biggest gripe I hear about this, there's two. One to me is valid, one to me is not. The valid one is some of these are judgment calls. Yes, but you have a fix for that. The fix for that and the standard in place is it has to be obvious that it should be overturned. There has to be inconclusive or conclusive video evidence. So if it's a judgment call and it's not conclusive that, oh my God, we missed that, then it stays as what it was on the field. And in the Rams-Saints game, it was pretty conclusive that they should have overturned the call. And so the other complaint that's completely ridiculous is, oh, there'll be too much replay. We're not upping the number of challenges. If a coach wants to challenge a holding call, okay. You want to waste it? Go ahead. You probably wanted that challenge back, but that challenge is gone. It's not like you get, I'm not saying get more challenges. This isn't going to be more replay. It just is more things that can get reviewed. Will it lead to a little more replay? Probably. Because ultimately, you're going to have more things that could be challenged and less challenges left in your pocket. But I'm not advocating to let everything be challenged all the time.
Would that be under 2 minutes, though? When usually that's the official's review, would they do that as well?
If something is blatantly obvious within 2 minutes, then yeah, you should be able to fix that.
That could lead to more reviews.
Rules are written so that they can be enforced properly. I would like them to be enforced properly. Human error is something that should happen by the players and the coaches, not the referees, as much as we can eliminate it.
I would prefer roughing the passer review more than pass interference.
But under the Redskins thing, you would be able to. I'm in favor of this.
Whether it should be a penalty or you take it away.
See, that's going to be a lot of judgment calls, though. And I don't think I don't think a lot of those would get changed, which just make people even more mad. But I get it. Other rule proposals. Revamped overtime. Each team gets a possession no matter what. So, AFC title game, Patrick Mahomes gets the ball. I am in favor of this. I'm not in favor of the way in which this... Actually, I could live with this. Ultimately, here's my overtime proposal. Make it a 7.5-minute quarter. 7.5 is half of 15. That's half of an extra. Because you don't want these guys playing forever. You don't want an actual fifth quarter. A fifth period. Since quarters, by nature, are fourths. You put a half out there. And if both teams get a possession, great. If one team is able to hold on to the ball for the entire 7:30, that's on your defense. Get off the field. You give up a 7.5-minute drive that ends in the other team kicking a field goal as time expires, you deserve to lose. But football is a game that is timed. Make it timed. Take away the sudden death. And then you play, if they're still tied at the end of 7:30, then you play a second 7:30, that one's sudden death. And at that point, if in the regular season, if the game ends in a tie, it's a tie. If not, then you keep. If it's the playoffs, you keep playing. Vic, you seem skeptical.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. I think the rules as it is currently is fine. Because going by your point, you know, it's on your defense if you end up losing the game, if you don't get that first possession. Well, then what's the difference currently under these current rules?
You give up a quick score touchdown, the game's over in 30 seconds? Like, that's stupid.
It's on the defense. Don't give up a touchdown in 30 seconds.
You don't want Patrick Mahomes. It's like, what's the best thing that can happen for the sport? It's Patrick Mahomes getting the ball.
If this was any other team, if it wasn't Kansas City in this position, no one would be talking about it.
This is how we got the rule in the first place.
Right.
A couple years ago, because I think it was Peyton Manning didn't get a chance in an overtime playoff game because the other team just went down and kicked a field goal. And it's like, no, it has to be a touchdown. Like, just go all the way with it. Let each team have a possession. Score, great. If not, yeah. There's another one I really like, the end of the onside kick. We'll get to that one next. But what do you think of these rule changes that we've talked about so far? 800-636-1067. Or you can tweet me, at Craig Hoffman, CRAIGHOFFMAN. This is The Hoffman Show on 106.7 The Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. My guy Spiro Ditas going to join us coming up to close the show at 6:45. He is calling the NCAA tournament for CBS and Turner, including Virginia Tech. You can hear Tech's game tomorrow right here on The Fan with John Laser and the Virginia Tech Broadcast Network. I'm headed to Phoenix, Arizona. I will be sitting on the plane at DCA tomorrow morning at this time, 12 hours from now, 6:33. Yeah, it's about 7 minutes after I board. So you will be hearing from me on this station from out there, including my sit down with Bruce Allen. That will be coming up this week here on The Fan, thefandc.com, and the radio.com app. The other thing that I will be paying attention to out there are the rule changes. I went through some of them and would be curious. The biggest one, I think, is the change to overtime. Obviously, the replay review is big as well. I love the idea of getting rid of the onside kick, especially as they solidify and lock in the new kickoff rules where there's no running start. It kind of killed the onside kick, so let's just kill the onside kick. If you want to be able to get the ball back, it's a 4th and 15 at your own 35. Let the offense decide it instead of a kicker. Kicking is what Jay Gruden calls magic balls. We don't need to see if a kicker can bounce a ball up in the air. It never works. Not anymore. So your thoughts on these rule changes at 800-636-1067. Matt's in Gainesville. Matt, thanks for calling. You're on The Fan.
What's up, Craig? I appreciate you taking my call. I would like to share with you an idea that I actually heard over these here airwaves maybe 2 years ago when there was another big stink about some unfair overtime rule. And the caller gave this idea that initially did sound absolutely crazy. And so this will also sound crazy because it's definitely outside of the typically proposed ideas. But
let's do it.
Actually, before rejecting it, listen to it through. It makes a tremendous amount of sense. All right. The biggest problem with most of the overtime stuff is the whole change of possession thing. You're running out of time. You're going to throw this crazy Hail Mary. You end up not getting it. Some other team, because of a flip of a coin, gets the ball. They score quick. That's a big problem. So instead of that, there is no change of possession if the game is tied at the end of regulation. Whoever is in possession of the ball, the clock has gone to zeros. They stay in possession of the ball exactly where they are at. If they are able to get any score at that point, game over. If they are unable to get a score at that point, the other team takes the ball from a punt or a turnover, whatever it is, and they have to score. Somebody has to score something in that now untimed overtime that could last forever, which could stink, but still, somebody has to score some point for it to end, because you're not going to have this unfair scenario. Hey, they were the folks that were possessing the ball at the end of 60 minutes. They get a chance to try and score. Otherwise, it keeps going until somebody scores.
So here's my issue with this, and that is that it changes your end game strategy. Instead of playing...
No Hail Marys.
Well, instead of... But it also, like, hey, can we get the ball down for a field goal before time expires? No, you just keep the ball. And that to me is... Like, that defeats the purpose of having an end of the clock. like the game then doesn't end in any way. Like there's no mark of the end of regulation.
It only matters if you're tied at the end of regulation, right? Like if you're not tied at the end of regulation, the game ends. 60 minutes is over. As long as you're like, wow, it's tight. This is now. Do we try to score at the end before the time runs out, and then they're going to have 1 second to try and score on us, or do we go past that? And then if we score, we win. Or if we don't score, all they have to do is score, and they're going to win. So, I mean, if you think about it a little bit longer, you may end up falling in love with the idea and only some of the champion this cause that has a platform like you, brother.
Yeah, but it's not like ultimately crazy. Like, it's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard in terms of overtime ideas. But I just think there's too much. Like, let's say you're down – you know, or you're tied at the end of regulation and you have the ball at your own 40-yard line. What are you doing if you have a minute left? You're trying to get the ball down the field in a field goal range, and you're playing that very differently than, oh, let's just continue to try to get first downs, and who cares whether we get into field goal range by the end of regulation. That fundamental change
at
the
end.
I understand.
If you're trying to make it back, if you're like, you're down by 3 points,
you're tied. You're tied. Right? But you'd still be trying to get into field goal range to kick the field goal before the clock expires. Now you're not worried about that. And in fact, you can take all the time you need to get in the field goal range, make sure that you're into overtime under your scenario, kick a game-winning field goal, and the other team never sees the ball. That's crazy.
Well, it's not that crazy because you've got now, if you take that one step further, you've got prevent defense and other things that we don't really, okay, you know, the time is going to run out. All we have to do is play some, you know, you saw the Redskins maybe 3 years ago play this defense where all they did was protect the out of bounds because they couldn't do it. No, you still have to play defense.
Like, right, but here's the difference. Okay, yeah. Let's say there's 15 seconds left. It's first and 10 on your own 40-yard line. Under your scenario, you just run the ball for 4 yards and don't worry about it. That's a stupid way for regulation to end.
No, regulation doesn't end.
Yes, it does. What?
It just continues. That's what I'm saying.
You've now made the clock in a tie game at the end irrelevant. And thanks for the call. I think it's interesting. It's thought-provoking. But ultimately, like, you can't make the clock irrelevant. If there's 15 seconds left in regulation and the game is tied, I want a team taking a shot down the field to get into field goal range because that's football. That you're fundamentally changing the sport. I understand, like, you want to get rid of the coin toss and, you know, maybe some other things, but ultimately, like, you know, college football obviously doesn't have the coin toss. They do the 25-yard line thing. I don't like that either. It's not football. Anything that fundamentally changes the sport. And Vic, like, this is the argument too in your beloved NHL. Like, are they still playing hockey in overtime?
Yeah. And there's a clock.
Right. It's modified hockey. You got some different rules. They're now 3-on-3 in overtime, except for in the playoffs, right? It's still 5-on-5.
Playoffs is just standard 5-on-5.
And it's a 20-minute period versus the 5-minute. And, like, I'm even cool with different rules in the regular season versus the playoffs.
Yes.
But ultimately, you can't do anything that fundamentally changes the sport. And I think there's also a difference, too, in, say, hockey. I'm a little more okay with it because there's 82 games. There's only 16 of these in the NFL. The margin for error is none. One game is the difference between making the playoffs and not, in a way, percentage-wise, that is significantly different than in the NHL and the NBA. Like, in the NHL and the NBA, if the calculator on this computer will work, you are looking at, let's see, 82 games, or 1 of 82 is 1.2% of the season. 1 of 16 is 6.2% of the season. That is an enormous difference.
What if we just did 3-on-3 in overtime, just like in hockey in
the
NFL?
Make it 7-on-7.
Or 7-on-7.
F the D-line. We solved it. Spiro Dedis is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To San Jose we go. Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan. Tomorrow on TBS, 7:10 is the tip for Liberty and Virginia Tech. Then after that, it is UC Irvine and Oregon. And on the call for all of those will be Spiro Dedis, who joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Spiro, good to talk to you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Craig. Good to talk, buddy. How's things?
Things are good. Nice little region you got going there. The vaunted 12-13 game is on your schedule. Before we get into the games that you'll be calling and the games that you've already called, can you just give people an idea of what it's like for a play-by-play guy to prepare for the NCAA tournament where you have to call all of these games in a very short window?
Well, you know, I will say now, having done it for, I think this is my 9th or 10th year doing it, you do kind of find, I don't want to say shortcuts, but you kind of figure out how to channel just the troves of information and research that CBS and the folks from Turner send our way as we prep for these games. I can remember my first year feeling completely overwhelmed. You know, you're seeing 8 teams that you really aren't familiar with. You know, if you're lucky, maybe you've seen one of 2 of them during the regular season. And so you do feel overwhelmed. We get the call on Sunday night. You know, we're watching the selection show like everyone else. Show ends, and about 10 minutes later, you get the call from CBS. Hey, you're headed to San Jose. And what I like to do is I like to fly to my site early, you know, get on the ground and just kind of bunker down in my hotel room and start prepping. And you feel such a responsibility because for, you know, most of these kids, they're not going pro. You know, this is their big moment. This is it for them. And you want to really do that justice and tell their stories and do it as best you can.
You've got Virginia Tech, obviously, of local interest here. And, in fact, we have the Virginia Tech radio call here tomorrow night on our station on 106.7 The Fan. If anybody is driving around would like to listen, can't watch Spiro and his crew on TV. What did you like about what they were able to do late the other night to close out the first round with a win?
Well, boy, you know, getting Justin Robinson back completely changes them. They're a different team with him in the lineup. You know, 18-3 when he's been healthy this year. First time seeing him in person, super impressed. And, you know, it's one thing to come back from an injury and play well. It's another thing to do it in an NCAA tournament game where everything's at stake. Looked like he hadn't skipped a beat. Looked like he's been playing straight through these last, month and a half since he's been out. That little lull, you know, that happens. You know, St. Louis is a good team. There was a reason why they were there. I thought they showed good fight. But, you know, to settle down, to absorb that punch the way the Hokies did in the second half, settle down and put the game away, I thought speaks volumes. You know, you just hope that, you know, that little tweak that we saw with Robinson and that foot towards the end of the game, you hope that it's just soreness today and you hope he's ready to go. But I'm telling you, when they're healthy, as you know, Craig, watching them all year, they're a very, very tough team to contend with.
Buzz Williams has been one of my favorite coaches for a long time, back from when he was at Marquette and I was at Syracuse, Big East rivals there. I just always found the guy super interesting, entertaining, but also he's really good. You had a chance over your time doing this to sit down with a lot of different coaches. How is sitting down with Buzz different than sitting down from anybody else?
Well, first of all, I love Buzz too. You know, there's such a... there's such a likability factor with him. You know, he's humble, but he knows he can coach. And there's just something about him. He's got that it factor that you want. Super personable. You know, he knows the media game. You know, he knows how to kind of play that. But he is genuine. And we just loved sitting with him and chatting with him for about 10 minutes the other day before their practice. I just get a kick out of him. You know, he's always kind of talking about fashion. You know, he was giving Steve Smith a hard time about whatever he was wearing the other day. Great sense of humor. And, you know, and as we know, we've already started to hear his name now in some of these potential vacancies and some vacancies that are already open. And that's the only downside. You know, when you have a guy like Buzz Williams, that kind of caliber coach, there's always going to be that question of, you know, how long is he staying? You know, where is he going to go? Is he going to go to one of the, you know, even upper tier programs as great as Virginia Tech is? So, if you're a Hokies fan, you just hope he sticks around long enough to take this team kind of in the direction where they're headed, because there's definitely something special about him. He's kind of that next tier of coaches that, you know, whose arrow is trending upwards for sure.
I think I would pay to see the fashion conversation between Buzz and Roz. Because Roz has a sense of style. You're a sideline reporter, Roz Goldonwude. Like, that's high-level fashion conversation.
I mean, I just kind of liked listening, you know? I mean, Buzz even color coordinates his ring, which I thought was kind of cool. I haven't seen that before. He's a cool guy. Very cool guy.
So you have two of the 5-12 upsets that happen. The Oregon-Wisconsin upset, a lot of people saw coming. The Liberty-Mississippi State upset, not so much, including me getting eliminated in a survivor pool. What did you see from those two underdog stories? Obviously, one's coming off a Pac-12 tournament title in Oregon, who is getting hot at the right time. Liberty, a much smaller school. How are they similar? How are they different?
Well, the Oregon-Wisconsin game was not a surprise at all. I mean, to me, it was almost like that, you know, Oregon looked like the 5 seed and Wisconsin, you know, all due respect to them, looked like the 12 seed. Wisconsin, we've seen that from them all year. You know, very good defensive team. Offense comes and goes. Tons of scoring droughts. And they're very limited in terms of what they have consistently around Ethan Happ. Oregon right now is peaking at the right time. They look really, really good. You know, they don't have the star power that they had a couple of years ago with the Final Four team, but their point guard, Peyton Pritchard, who was a starter for them as a freshman on that team that went to the Final Four, got such invaluable experience. He has really taken his game to the next level, and you can see the confidence that he's playing with. And I think it makes Oregon really a different team. Kenny Wooten is so dynamic as a shot blocker. So, you know, they have the inside element, they have the outside element with Pritchard and some of their other perimeter guys. And so they're going to be really, really tough to contend with. I think that's going to be a great game in the second game that we have tomorrow night. And Liberty, look, I mean, Liberty is one of these small schools that's playing with a ton of confidence. It's a Christian faith-based school, which is really, really interesting. The caliber of student athlete that they have is really, really high. It was an interesting session with them to meet some of their kids. And Richard McKay, the head coach, who I have a lot of respect for, was an assistant, of course, with Tony Bennett at Virginia for 6 years, then went back there for his second stint. And he's got that school, you know, in the midst of the best season that they've ever had. So, you know, all these stories. I mean, this is the great part about this tournament. Everyone's got a story. Everyone's overcome. And it's just kind of cool to see these kids achieve their dreams and play at this kind of level on this stage.
I got about 90 seconds or so left. Is there a story that you're really looking forward to being able to tell now that maybe even you found it out today that you've had a chance to dive a little bit deeper? Your teams have been cut in half. Something that you're just really excited that maybe you didn't get to it in the first broadcast with any one of these four teams that you'll see?
You know, nothing crazy, I would say. It's just the matchups. You know, to see now Oregon, how far that they can go. I mean, obviously, you know, to think that they can get to a Final Four again is maybe stretching it. But I just think when you're peaking at this time of year and you're playing with confidence, you know, really the sky's the limit. And not only is Oregon peaking, but, you know, this team, UC Irvine, who we haven't touched on yet, mm-hmm. you know, this team has won 17 straight. They haven't lost since the middle of January.
Wow.
Russell Turner is, for my money, maybe the best coach that no one's heard of in America. He's coaching in Orange County, California. There's a job opening just up the road, up the 405 in Westwood at UCLA, and I haven't heard his name once. And if I am an athletic director at UCLA, Russell Turner is on my list. I'm not sure he's going to get a look because he doesn't have the name recognition, but the guy can coach. He's a former All-American as a player, and he's got the Anteaters really sitting as a legit team. Who knows what happens tomorrow, but they've won 17 in a row. They've won 31 games on the year. They're having the best season in the history of their program. And so I want to see how the Anteaters perform tomorrow, you know, taking that next step and to see just how far that they can go.
Going to be a lot of fun to watch both those games on TBS tomorrow. Spiro, appreciate the time. I know it was a squeeze. I really appreciate it. And I will be out in L.A. maybe in April, but definitely in May. And you can bet that you'll hear from me.
Sounds good, buddy. Look forward to it.
See ya. That's Spiro Dedis. TBS, CBS, the whole Turner broadcast family. He lives out on the beach in L.A., and he's told me, if you're out here, come hang out on the beach. And I'm like, you bet your ass I will. Dude's awesome. He's got a great gig, too. And he's really, really good at his job. You'll be able to hear that tomorrow. And if you cannot watch Spiro, Steve Smith, Len Elmore, and Roz Goldonwude on CBS, on TBS, you can listen to the Virginia Tech game right here with John Laser and the Hokie Broadcast Network on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks to all our guests. This, if you missed any of them, podcast in the overtime feed. Thanks to Vic Ferreira on the board and for doing the podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman, and I'll see you from Phoenix on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.